Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Brian Lehrer. This is my Daily Politics Podcast from WNYC Studios. It's Friday, October 2nd. If you were wondering which campaign would pull the first October surprise, the answer is neither. It's the October surprise from science. Defy science enough times with magical thinking, and science will most likely catch up with you. It could happen with the climate, and it can happen with the coronavirus. Remember, a virus is a living organism. It's part of nature. It's part of science, not politics. So make a big show enough times of thumbing your nose at science and your personal behavior, and you increase your odds. Science doesn't feel offended. Science doesn't get revenge. Science isn't a Democrat or a Republican. Science just is. And so here we are with today's breaking news. The president says he and the first lady have the coronavirus, and the president does have symptoms, according to the New York Times. The first October surprise winds up coming from science. So what happens now? Joining me now is Annie Carney, New York Times White House correspondent and an NBC News and MSNBC contributor. And Annie, thanks for coming on short notice today, considering the breaking news. Welcome back to WNYC.
I always say yes to Brian, so I'm happy to be here.
We really appreciate that. And the newest news is the report that the president is showing symptoms. What can you tell us?
Yes, he was showing some cold-like symptoms this morning. My colleague Maggie Haberman reported that this morning. But there have been aides have noticed some things off about his behavior. His voice sounded a little gravelly and sick in his interview with Sean Hannity last night and in his remarks at a fundraiser yesterday that some aides noticed it, that he didn't sound like himself. And his rally in Minnesota earlier this week, it was 45 minutes long, which is about half the length of an average Trump rally. They usually run 90 minutes to 2 hours long. At the time, we didn't know why that was, whether it was a reaction to his debate performance, but they're never that short. So that has been flagged as a potential another sign that he has been not feeling 100%.
Is he getting any specific treatment or medical advice that you can report?
We don't know yet. We should be getting more information from the White House later today. But they have not told us anything other than the doctor's note that the White House physician, Dr. Conley, put out last night that just said that the first lady and the president had tested positive.
So, Annie, the president acknowledged he is quarantining. What does that mean in the case of the president of the United States?
It means we will see what it looks like for him. Right now, it means that he and the first lady have pulled down their schedule. Last night, they said that he's still doing a call to talk to seniors about the risks of coronavirus. That was already on his schedule, but it takes on some different meaning now that he is a senior with the coronavirus who will be leading the call. But they pulled down his schedule for today. I'm assuming that it will mean he doesn't travel for 2 weeks. Depending on how he's feeling, what I'm hearing is there is some effort to figure out a way for him to show himself to the American people to reduce concerns. They don't know what that will look like yet, but kind of to have him out there in some way every day that they can. But how long he stays in quarantine? Last night before he tweeted the positive test, he tweeted that he would be quarantining until he got his test results. It wasn't clear if that was just an overnight quarantine, which wouldn't be much of a quarantine at all. So we don't know yet, but right now he's not leaving the White House. He pulled down his schedule for the day, and the White House aides are trying to figure out ways to show that he's okay.
What will the president do or not do in terms of his duties?
They say he's going to, fully capable of continuing in all of his functions as president, just the travel schedule, the rallies, the fundraisers, the meetings with aides that have been happening. That's not happening, at least for today.
Also announced in the last hour, Vice President Pence and his wife have tested negative. So we don't have to worry too much for the moment about lines of succession scenarios, I guess. But what is Vice President Pence doing differently today as a result of this news?
Not clear. Pence had, the last time the vice president was exposed to Trump was on Tuesday morning in Washington. His office has not said whether he will also pull down his travel schedule while the president is in quarantine. He has been traveling since March constantly in battleground states. He is on the road more than any other administration official. He has had his own issues with, and he usually is photographed not in a mask. You'll remember he drew a lot of criticism early on for visiting the Mayo Clinic and flouting their guidelines that required all visitors to the clinic to wear masks. He did not wear a mask while there. He said he didn't feel the need to wear a mask because he was tested regularly. So he's drawn his own criticism about mask wearing, but they said that they'll get back to us soon about what his schedule will look like in the coming weeks.
How did the president get the virus?
I mean, we never know for sure how anyone gets the virus, but the succession of events we learned about, we learned that Hope Hicks tested positive on Thursday after feeling sick. We learned that because one of my White House press corps colleagues, Jennifer Jacobs of Bloomberg News, reported it. The White House did not announce it. They, in fact, did not want it to come out that Hope Hicks, one of the most closest advisors to the president, was showing symptoms and had tested positive. After that, the president and the first lady said they were getting tested. And in an interview with Sean Hannity last night, the president said that he was awaiting his test results. And he said, I don't know yet whether we have it. His comment was very strange. And the fact that he said he'd be quarantining until he got the test results was also raised a lot of red flags for us as journalists, because the president's national security advisor, Robert O'Brien, tested positive. Two valets that work closely with the president and the residents tested positive. At no time during those cases did the president ever say he was quarantining awaiting test results. So there, he clearly was acting differently around this one, which made us on high alert even before the announcement that he, too, had tested positive last night.
Is the timeline that the president was still not quarantining earlier this week, even when he knew his aide, Hope Hicks, had tested positive and that they had had close contact?
So the timeline is Hope Hicks tested positive Thursday morning. She started to feel symptoms Wednesday on the plane ride home from Minnesota. She quarantined on the plane. So as of Wednesday night, the president knew that someone he's in contact with regularly was showing symptoms. On Thursday, he had a regular schedule, but we didn't see him. His events yesterday were virtual. He spoke at the Al Smith dinner, which was virtual. Mm-hmm. He did this call-in with Hannity, which was virtual. Other aides, like Kayleigh McEnany, who had been exposed to Hope Hicks, held a press briefing with reporters on Thursday. I'm seeing reports this morning that she's saying that she, when she came out into the briefing room without a mask to talk to reporters, she's saying she didn't know yet of Hope's positive test. So we're still in the process of figuring out who knew what, when, what, how irresponsible or responsible they were about not putting themselves in contact with other people until they knew how they had tested. Everyone is kind of getting tested today. We've seen reports this morning that Jared and Ivanka have tested negative in addition to the vice president. Ronna McDaniel, the RNC chairwoman, has tested positive. Barron, the president's youngest son, has tested negative. So we're going to be getting reports all day as we figure out how widespread this became within Trump's inner circle. I always like to say that throughout the week, this was kind of a remarkable week, in that I think because of the events the president was participating in just 30-something days before the election, he was in close contact and on the plane with almost everyone in his circle. His entire family was on the plane to the debate with him, no one wearing masks. He had fundraisers at Bedminster and at a supporter's house in Minnesota. He had a Rose Garden press conference with three cabinet secretaries and the chief executive of Abbott Testing. I mean, he did a variety of events. He did a rally in front of thousands of supporters. He was all over the place. And, oh, he did debate prep sessions in small quarters in the West Wing with all of his top campaign aides, Chris Christie and Rudy Giuliani. I mean, he's seen everyone up close this week that ever really deals with him.
And so what's the protocol for all those people, especially the ones who are in close quarters in indoor spaces with him? Do they all have to quarantine now, Rudy Giuliani, Chris Christie, everyone else?
Well, I mean, do they have to? I don't know what have to is in this White House that doesn't really make following the rules a hallmark of the administration. I expect that when these people receive negative tests, they will not feel the need to quarantine. They have a lot of work to do. Judge Barrett has been in the White House and saw the president on Saturday. She has tested negative. She has a very short schedule to get this confirmation done. I don't think she has time to quarantine. And with a negative result, that will probably suffice for them. We'll have to see how everyone handles this. And I think more will become apparent throughout the day. White House officials have been going to the White House this morning to get tested.
Are they saying under what understanding of science or CDC protocols or their own protocols the president went about his business as he did this week after presumably knowing that Hope Hicks, who he had close contact with, had tested positive?
Right. Well, the positive, I mean, the... her positive test only came back yesterday. So it would only be his Thursday schedule that would... I'm just actually pulling it up right now to take a look. He was in Bedminster, and he, you know, so he gave remarks at a roundtable of supporters and at a fundraising reception Thursday afternoon. So that's the only event that should be under scrutiny for how did he... after knowing that he had been in close contact with a positive case. I think what science is telling us is that if you know that you've been in contact with someone who is positive, you should not be in contact with other people. I think that we should be looking at those Bedminster events in terms of contact tracing and in terms of asking questions about what rules did he not and regulations did he not follow.
Clara in Rockville Center, you're on WNYC with New York Times White House correspondent Annie Carney. Hi, Clara.
Hi, let's just follow the science. Who is the medical doctor who signed off on the president and Melania's virus? And when did that CDC doctor sign off?
Not sure what CDC doctor she's referring to. Are there various doctors in this scenario? Is there some storyline there that I'm not getting, Annie?
There's a White House physician, the president's physician, Dr. Conley, who sent out announced that the findings last night that the president was positive. I think I've seen a lot of lefty conspiracy theories online this morning that maybe he's making it up, which maybe is the basis of this question. Like, do we really trust the doctor that Trump really has the virus? I think there's two things on that. One is that the White House physicians in this administration have given us no reason to have full faith in them. Dr. Ronny Jackson, you'll remember, talked about how the president was in perfect health and would probably live till he was 200 something years old. And Dr. Conley was very vague earlier this summer when he issued a statement about the president taking hydroxychloroquine. His statement was kind of mealy worded and it wasn't clear whether he had prescribed it. There's reason to say, why should I believe what the White House medical unit is telling me? That being said, I don't understand this theory of the case from the left, because I can't imagine anything worse politically for Trump than to have to admit he got the virus and to have to pull himself down for 2 weeks with only 30-something days left in the race. So to me, it makes no sense that this isn't real.
Right. The conspiracy. Oh, you should. I mean, I'm sure you're seeing Twitter with all the conspiracy theories. This is not what we will emphasize on this program. But that one is all over the place, that this is being staged by the president to pretend to, you know, show that he could get the virus and be fine in a few days. Another one is that these RNC people and campaign people who have it infected him on purpose so that they'll sort of get rid of him politically. And, you know, he'll lose the election at very least, or have to turn over the presidency to Pence. But these are what we label them, conspiracy theories.
They're conspiracy theories. And, like, the thing that has to be remembered about this, more like, this is an incredibly shocking development, but why is it surprising that a president who has been traveling and doing rallies and being exposed to people all the time and working in an environment where officials have taken negative tests that they take as a license not to wear masks or do any other practices like social distancing, why would it be a surprise that he would contract the virus?
Yeah, and that's what I was saying at the beginning of the show, like, about science, right? It could happen
a story we wrote last night, the president kind of has had that attitude. A lot of aides were in total shock last night, but the president has been telling associates, like, his attitude towards the virus has kind of been fatalistic. Kind of like, if I get it, I get it. It's a roll of the dice, has been how he's viewed this, the potential for this to happen.
Because he's rolling the dice, that chances are, with all the testing of people who come in contact with him, he won't get it. And then he can continue to make the points about reopening the economy and how that benefits him politically that he can make?
Yeah, I don't know exactly why he's thinking like that. I think he has seen this hit other world leaders, hit people in his inner circle. I think he just realizes that he's going to keep doing what he's doing. He's not going to do the, you know, the stay in his basement strategy that he has accused Biden of doing, and that this is, like, if you're out there, you could get it, and that's that.
Right. Well, defy science enough times with magical thinking, and the odds are that science will catch up with you. As I said in the intro, one slight correction from my intro, by the way, I referred to viruses as living organisms, and somebody called up to say, no, they're not living organisms. I checked Scientific American, and it says that viruses are thought of as being in a gray area between living and non-living. They cannot replicate on their own, but can do so in truly living cells and can also affect the behavior of their hosts profoundly. So a slight correction to what I said at the top in that respect. Scientific American says viruses are thought of as being in a gray area between living and non-living. Amanda, go ahead, Annie.
I just want to add one more thing. I'm just thinking as you were talking. Another thing about the president and his health, there's the mystery of this physical that he took. He took this surprise trip to Walter Reed to get some tests. They never told us what the tests were. They claimed he was getting a quote-unquote early jump start on his annual physical. That has been this big mystery.
How long ago?
I'm trying to remember. This is not related to COVID. No, this was like 6 months ago, pre-virus. But what I'm saying is that while the president has a virus that is potentially fatal to some people, it would be a great time for the American people to be able to have trust in what they're telling us about his health. And this is a time when the track record of what they told us about his health is just not there. They've never told us the full truth and have given us a full picture of the president's health. And that is very concerning to me at a time when everyone should want to be able to trust that they're getting, that what the White House is telling us about how the president is doing right now is accurate.
What's the Trump campaign saying about this? I'm on their email list, as many journalists are, to see what they send to their supporters. And I usually get many emails a day. So far today, crickets. Is the campaign saying anything?
They have said nothing publicly. There's been no statement from the campaign. Privately, I think people are in shock and processing, and Bill Stepien, the campaign manager, Jason Miller, the top campaign strategist, they've been, like, in very close quarters with Hope all week long, especially because of the debate. She's been involved in debate prep with them. So I think that they have to figure out who else has been exposed, who else might be sick. There has been no message to the supporters, except for, I mean, you saw some messaging on Fox last night from Trump. Like the line that I've seen out there from Trump allies is the president is as strong as a 30-year-old, and this is going to be nothing. He's not even going to feel anything. It's going to be a minimal health event. In fact, he is technically obese, which makes him more at risk of serious illness, and he is in his 70s. So he is a high-risk person to get the virus. But the messaging I've seen so far from Trump campaign allies is that he's going to be so strong and not feel a thing. This is going to be gone like a blip.
What about the Biden campaign? The president has mocked Joe Biden for wearing a mask too much, wearing a mask that's big, all this stuff. Never mind a mask is supposed to cover as much as your face as it can. But are they saying anything yet?
I saw that Joe Biden tweeted this morning, thoughts to President Trump and First Lady Melania for a swift recovery. Basically, they're saying thoughts and prayers, which is probably politically the only thing for him to say right now. And yeah, I mean, I think that there's probably a little bit of feeling like the basement strategy isn't looking so stupid right now, is it? But it is kind of shocking just on the debate stage, the president made fun of Joe Biden for wearing a mask all the time and said he's always wearing a mask if he's 200 feet away. And you can find over the past week downplaying the virus, poking fun at mask wearing. I mean, it's while this virus is starting to come into his inner circle and finally to him. I mean, the juxtaposition is incredible.
And later we'll have a doctor on.
I don't know that it will change their messaging. This is not the first. A lot of senior White House officials have gotten sick already, and this virus has already infected the president's inner circle to the point of making people scared of exactly this happening, and it hasn't changed their messaging like since March. So I don't know.
And so the election in a certain respect might hinge at this point on whether he has a mild case and is able to come out and say, see, people get it. Even 74-year-old people get it. And people who are overweight get it. And most of them recover. And we shouldn't be locking down the economy so much. Or if he has a really serious case, the opposite.
Correct. I mean, I think the best case scenario now for the White House is to do the former, to have him do some sort of a sign of life appearance to show people he looks okay, he sounds okay. Yeah, exactly. If he can recover this, he can use it as an example of, look, it's not the flu, but it's not that bad. He is something he could potentially come out of this saying, but we just don't know yet. And he's already does have symptoms, so it's already not a nothing.
And we will leave it there for now. We thank Annie Carney, White House correspondent for the New York Times and an NBC News and MSNBC contributor, for hopping on with us on short notice this morning to talk about the breaking news that the president says he and the first lady have coronavirus, and the president does have some symptoms that they're characterizing as mild, observable to some degree in the president's raspy voice over the last day or two, and him doing a much shorter rally than he had been doing at the last rally that he led. We will see what happens, and we will have continue to cover this story. Of course, if there's anything breaking throughout the morning, we will have another guest on it in a little while who's a doctor who's going to give us more of the medical perspective as opposed to the Washington perspective. So that's coming up. Annie, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Brian Lehrer, a daily politics podcast, is an excerpt from my live daily radio show, The Brian Lehrer Show, on WNYC Radio, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, if you want to listen live at WNYC.org. Thanks for listening today. Talk to you next time.